What's up, college baseball fans? Welcome to episode 4 of the 2020 season edition of the 11.7 podcast. We have some very exciting news we're going to share with you guys. We're also going to do some fun Would You Rathers. We're going to talk about our new deal that we just brought into place. It's going to be a fun show, so stay with us. And this show is brought to you by Foul Pole Sports. It is Friday, February 7th, and we are back for our fourth episode of the 11.7 podcast. If you guys haven't seen already, we had some big news drop today, or yesterday actually, where we just signed a deal with Foul Pole Sports, making us their official podcast for this season, and we'll dive deep into that deal. But first, the first thing I want to talk about on the show is we got a new co-host, and it's someone who's been with 11.7 through all of the mud and the waters we went through last year. He was just kind of behind the scenes. Former Mercer baseball player and former Greek national team player, Dimitri Curtis. Welcome to the show.
What up, Ben?
What up?
It's interesting to see the show from this perspective. I had to listen to you guys from the other side of it, editing, whatever, graphics, whatever. But you know what? I had itches all year trying to give my opinion on things, and it's time. It's time for the world
to
hear my opinion.
You have made the call up from the minor leagues to the major leagues, and now is your time to shine. So you did all of the graphics last year. You did all the video editing. It's pretty much sat back there behind the scenes the whole season and did a hell of a job, and we really appreciated it. But
Hey, stop it. I don't need all that.
Yep, but Dimitri will be taking the place of James. James has decided he can't pursue the show. He's full-time job, making real money right now, and nobody blames him. I mean, he still has a passion for college baseball, but so does Dimitri. And we're just going to keep this thing moving. And so if you guys want to tweet at James and thank him for what he did last year, we've already had a couple listeners do that, and I know he appreciates it, and it kills him that he doesn't have the time to do the show, but we will make this show just as good, maybe even better as last year. And it's going to be fun. Dimitri knows a lot about college baseball. He's passionate about it like me and James were. So, and the good news is Dimitri likes to argue a little bit. So we're going to have some heated debates on the show for sure.
It's about to get hot in here.
It's about to get real hot. So Dimitri, just go ahead and tell the listeners kind of about your playing career and, you know, what you did playing professionally for a little bit and what maybe, I don't know if you're allowed to say yet, but what your future plans are. Playing baseball still.
So basically went to Mercer 2011 went to Mercer. I don't like to gas myself up, had a really good career there. Enjoyed my time there, grew up as a person, became a man. Your college years are definitely where you become a man. I can't thank them enough for everything. Everybody goes through rough patches. I can't complain. I'm a Tommy John survivor through
Tommy John survivor, the good old Thomas Jonathan surgery
through, I guess 50% of my senior year, the torn UCL. I do not recommend it. Do not try it at home. got surgery after senior year, made my rehab, came back through, played 3 years of independent ball in Nebraska. So a lot of you Midwesterners, I was in your neck of the woods for a couple years. I loved it. Had a great time. And then, I also got my Greek citizenship and played for the Greek national team, which is a huge passion of mine. Representing my dad's heritage, getting to play the game I love, grew up loving, seeing different parts of the world. I mean, the game's taken me to Taiwan, United States, obviously, Amsterdam, Bulgaria, Greece, Croatia, Germany, and Ben threw a hint out there about what I'm doing next. I decided to continue my vacation, and I'm going to play in the Italian Pro League So that'll be exciting, a lot of fun, get to travel around Italy, place I've never been before. So looking forward to that. But obviously, I will be here on the 11.7 podcast.
Absolutely. And so you just kind of said the whole spiel of how many different leagues you've played in and just like your career success. But you didn't even mention that you actually played in a summer in the Cape Cod League, which is like a huge honor. Two summers in the Cape Cod League.
I actually won it all. In 2014, we won the Cape League Championship with Yarmouth Dennis. That team was loaded, bro. That team was loaded. I mean, I think we had 5 first-round picks.
How many of those kids made the major leagues?
Walker Buehler's in the big leagues. Trey Mancini, I played with him my freshman year in Harwich. He's in the big league. Big leagues. Buehler, Mancini. Andrew Stevenson's in the big league, outfielder at the Nationals from LSU. I mean, there's too many to name. I had a blast playing with all those guys, and it's fun to watch their continued success at the next level. I mean, not everybody gets to make it. So that was a fun experience, something I'll never forget, especially throwing that ring on and knowing all the memories and history and stuff that went into it.
So you actually got a championship ring for that?
Oh, yeah.
Dang, that's crazy. But yeah, so Dimitri will be with us while he's in Italy. We're going to record the podcast at weird times, but it'll be fun. He'll have some good stories to tell us. I know that.
Oh yeah.
Is it mostly like Americans over there or
in Italy?
Yeah, like in the Italian league.
It's mostly Italian. Most former affiliate, like affiliate ball guy that are Italian or whatever, yeah. They go over there at the back end of their career.
Dang, that's awesome. But dude, imagine just like sitting in Italy, getting paid to play baseball, like one of the most beautiful countries out there. There's beautiful women. I mean, you're going to have a chance to just live the best life.
Not as beautiful as the Greeks, but yeah, they're close.
I don't know enough to tell the difference between Greeks and Italians. I've never been out of the country. So, but yeah, no, going back to the show a little bit, it's going to be a good time. You'll still have access to watch college baseball and keep up with it. I know you will. And it's going to turn into a really good season, man. I'm really excited for it. Obviously a little bummed that the best friend James can't do it this year, but we can't just loathe over that. We got to keep moving. So anyways, so a little bit about this Foul Pole Sports deal, because I'm sure all of you guys are wondering. We kind of teased it a little bit. It was a deal that took months, like probably 2 or 3 months to actually finalize. We've been in talks with them since even the season last year. So they really like us. We really like them. We feel like we blended well together. And once we agreed on some terms, it was showtime. So we announced it yesterday that we partnered with them, and we're going to be the official podcast for mostly their Division I baseball stuff. We might talk a little bit about JUCO and NAIA ball and stuff like that, because I know they have a lot of followers that follow those sports. But mostly Division I baseball coverage, and it goes countrywide. So from California to Florida, doesn't matter. If it's big news, we will talk about it. And so basically the deal just consists of us continuing to put out our content through our 11.7 brand. We're just going to be under the Foul Pole Sports brand as well. So we're going to be doing more blogging. We're going to do more videos. Merchandise is going to be released sometime before the season starts. We're coming up with good merchandise to put on their website. Everything will be through their website, but it won't change the podcast at all. So you don't have to worry about anything different on the podcast. They're really good guys though. And I think they actually want to come on the show and talk a little bit, because for the last 4 years that they've been doing it, they've been really behind the scenes. Like, I don't even know if they've released their names yet. So we might actually break some news and interview the Foul Pole Sports guys, because they do a great job with very funny college baseball content.
Oh yeah. No, Foul Pole has been electric. I even remember when they started doing just their little funny video release drops. I don't even know when they started, but I mean, everyone's like, oh my God, Foul Pole. You see that shit was hilarious. Like stuff like that.
they were the first like real, like humorous college baseball content. And it was just,
they're the Barstool of college baseball.
Yeah, they really are. Like the same kind of followers. And speaking of, like, Barstool Sports just sold a majority of their company for like $150 million. So there is a lot of money in this industry. And when you can make people laugh and also inform them at the same time, man, people love that. And
they want to listen to boring stuff. Yeah. Give me the good shit.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what we're here to do. We're going to have really funny times like we did last year on the podcast. Just two dudes just cracking up over, you know, stupid stuff. Like, we'll have some videos that we'll break down for you guys as well.
Hey, new season, but I still have respect for Louisville's pitcher dropping the F-bomb on national television. Yeah.
Going back to the College World Series, man, that was awesome.
Inject that into my veins.
And it's that kind of stuff that we love. And we will break down every ounce and every detail to our listeners so they can go Google it on their phone and laugh for themselves. And it's that kind of stuff. It's similar to like the Central Michigan in Mississippi State's regional last year. You know, getting hit by a pitch and making the trainer run all the way out there and then sprinting to first base. Like, that stuff just cracks me up. And we'll be doing a lot of that. And it's something that all of our listeners really they pushed us to do more and more of that. So we're not scared. That's for sure. We have nobody. I mean, Foul Pole Sports doesn't control us, but they're encouraging that stuff more than anybody. So we're not going to hold back this year.
Hey, one thing before we move on, just like college baseball coaches say, just like any baseball coach said, nobody cares about your feeling.
You cannot have feelings and play the game of college baseball. That is a fact.
If you're listening and we hurt your feeling, of course, I'm going to apologize beforehand, but just know it's not personal.
It's
we
not
just like
personal.
To have fun here.
No, yeah, we're just here to have fun. And we love, absolutely love when people start up debates with us on our personal Twitters or even our main Twitter account. Man, we'll debate with anybody about anything. And
Fight me. I won't let it go down. We'll talk about it.
Yep. But yeah, so you guys don't have to worry about anything changing drastically with Foul Pole Sports. They gave us free reign to do whatever we do because they think we do a good job at it. And at the end of the day, we're just here to help the game of college baseball grow. And the only way to grow is to tap into more audiences. And one of the audiences that hasn't been really tapped into is like the normal, average college baseball fan that doesn't like the content on the internet already because it doesn't suit him, doesn't fit him. It doesn't entertain him or her, and that's what we're here for. So we're looking to grow our YouTube channel. We're looking to grow all platforms, including we might even dabble in with a little bit of TikTok, which I've been learning a lot about. I'm so old now. I'm 24, and I'm 24, but I'm really like 65 in TikTok.
Oh, you think you're old? You think you're old?
How old are you now? Like 27?
27.
Jesus, man. Yeah, because we never even played with each other at Mercer. That's the crazy thing. Nope. We missed each other.
Probably a good thing.
Yeah, probably good. We probably would have hated each other. Probably would have hated each other more than what we'd actually do. But anyways, so today on Twitter, after we announced the partnership with Foul Pole Sports, I tweeted out something that's a little bit fun, a little bit different. I wanted our listeners to give us some good would you rathers. You know, talking about college baseball, and I was cracking up at some of these replies. Like my favorite one, Dimitri, I got to ask you, Mark Pugh 4 says, would you rather have someone spit sunflower seeds in your face 3 times per game, or would you take a line drive off the chest once per game? And like, that's the stuff that cracks me up more than anything. Like
is this just me or that like almost like a no brainer?
What would you take?
This sunflower seed, dude. It happens already accidentally about 10 times a game.
You would rather have somebody get a mouthful of seeds and just spit. Like, how disrespectful is that?
I can't get up and go play in the field next inning. Take a line drive. I mean, don't call me soft, but I ain't going back out there.
I mean, I took plenty of line drives at first base off the chest. Most of them were ground balls, but man, those things hurt. But after a while, you know, you just kind of have to shake it off. That only happens once per game.
I mean, hockey players train that way, don't they?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Only 364 days to hockey season. Good little quote there.
Respect.
I don't know if I could sit there and like have somebody walk up to me and just spit a mouthful of seeds 3 times per game. That's over 160 times a season.
I'm probably going to fight them after the second time.
But you
probably wouldn't get to a third time. But
you got to take
honestly,
it 3 times.
A ground ball. Anywhere, any baseball to the body,
it hurts.
It hurts. This shit really hurt, and there's battle scars. Like it hurts.
Right. Well, and dude, honestly, I was thinking of it as like a a more like respectful thing, but at the same time, nobody in the stands is going to respect you taking a line drive to the chest every single game. They're like,
oh, they're probably going to get on Twitter and complain about how you struck out the next inning.
Yeah, they're gonna be like, look, here's Ben Upton. He hasn't got hit by a line drive yet this game, but just watch. Like, look how bad of a fielder he is. Like, that is also terrible. But, man, I just can't get over getting spat on three times.
Here, I got one for you. I got one for you. And here, let's roll out another one. Would you rather have Alex Klein. Would you rather have 6 a.m. weights every day year-round or 6 a.m. tarp pull every day in season?
Oh, my God. So, 365 days of 6 a.m. weights or like 90.
Would it be August to May? Would it be all summer, too?
Yeah, he said every day. Oh, I guess August to May doesn't count because you're out of school, right?
Don't be there in the summer.
Shoot, man. If you guys don't know, I'm not a morning person at all. I'm like Dimitri. I'd rather stay up until 3 a.m. than wake up at like 6. 6 a.m. weights means you have to be up and moving by like 5:15, 5:30 at the latest.
What if you just go to sleep?
And you just stayed
sleep
up?
After. Just schedule your classes in the afternoon.
I don't know how like healthy that is, but I guess like that's not a bad way to think about it. But dude, you know just as bad as I do, tarp pools are the worst at 6 a.m. Like, we had to do it all the time. We didn't have any kind of field crew at Mercer. The field crew was numbers 1 through 35.
We're blue collar down there.
Blue collar. We're the most blue collar private school probably in the country.
You had to earn your stripes down there. Hey, boy, you had to earn your
We had to earn our helmet stickers, that's for sure. but I guess.
What are you taking?
I guess I'm taking the. I'm taking the bigger. 6 a.m. weights, I think. Just
better
because.
Yourself as a person, right?
Yeah, I mean, you get better. Like,
more
you get bigger.
BP home run.
Yeah, more BP home runs. That's a plus. Sure, you have to wake up super early and like get moving. But then afterwards, like whenever we did have morning workouts at Mercer, like you feel good after.
You feel like a better person.
Yeah, and you go to the calf and eat some like powdered scrambled eggs and like some chewy bacon.
But you know what that phrase is? It's so corny, but chicks dig the long ball. So if you go to wait.
That's what I'm saying. And yeah, I mean, I think I would at least have like more than one ab if I went 6 a.m. every day to the weight room. Like, I have the problem where like my abs don't divide up into like sixes like most people's. I just got one. I got one big one, man.
Pillsbury Doughboy. That's perfect.
It's just like a layer. I'm like built like a penguin. Like, just a layer of fat just sticks out, and it's crazy. But, I mean, I can't help it.
Hey, you know it's just called insulation. You got to keep the house warm.
I need to move up north because I'm a little bit more insulated than most people. All right, so move.
6 a.m. wait, too. And you know why? For one reason. That dip you put in after you're done with your workout at 6 a.m., I can't explain how amazing it feels. You put that dip in at 7:30 in the morning. You are done for the day with your workout. Take a shower. Go eat.
What if you had 8 a.m. like class? That would be...
Best in the year.
If you had 8 a.m. class after 6 a.m. weights...
Oh,
like,
yeah. No, that sucks.
That would suck. Because then you can't go eat.
You're on the run.
Yeah. And man, that's tough. I guess it just kind of depends on... Kind of just
depends. That's why you go to JUCO freshman year, because you can take whatever you want. And then when you're a sophomore, you can pick your classes at D1. Take no kids.
Yeah. Oh, I went the JUCO route. I know. I love JUCO. JUCO is basically as close as you're going to get to like Puerto Rican baseball school.
Or
you know,
baseball on your own.
Yeah, but like you know, in like Puerto Rico and like the Dominican, they have baseball those baseball schools where like you take classes online, but it's really just like basic. English and like math and stuff. Yeah, that's basically junior college baseball.
Pick another one.
All right, here's another one. Would you rather hit 20? This one's from Drink Local Birmingham. Would you rather hit 20 bombs and hit 260, or 5 bombs and hit 350? And this is the simplest answer I can give. 20 home runs in a 56 game season. That's incredible. Nobody cares about your average 10 years from now. But if you put up 20 bombs, you're a legend. I'll even take 15 bombs.
20 bombs all day, every day.
Yeah, that one's
all
pretty
simple.
I think
no
that was
a
simple answer. And if you if you're like one of the guys that's like, I'd rather hit 350 with five bombs, like, this show isn't for you.
No. Nope.
Because we talk about Dinger Nation.
All right, Ben. This one, I'm not really sure where they're trying to go with this, but would you rather be a four-year starter at a mid-major, your weekend starter at a mid-major, or a four-year reliever at a Power 5?
So four-year, like, am I on Friday night, Saturday nights?
Yeah, Friday or Saturday or Sunday, or a four-year reliever at a Power 5.
I mean, you just can't match up to, like, I mean, there are some mid-majors out there that probably have better facilities and funding than some Power 5s, but if we're talking, like, SEC, ACC, put me in the bullpen for 4 years, and I would love that.
Dude, I'm putting McKinney Powers on, and I'm going out there, and I'm closing games out.
That's what I'm saying.
Put me in Duty Noble. Put me at Swayze. Put me anywhere, and I'll bring in the heat.
4 years in the ninth inning. So let's kind of shape this question up a little bit better. Like, would you rather be a four-year weekend guy at a mid-major like Coastal Carolina, or would you rather be a four-year reliever at, like,
LSU?
No, like Purdue. They're Power 5.
Ooh, yeah, no, now that's tough.
Yeah, now it's tough.
I think I'm taking 4 year starter at Coastal.
I am too, 1,000%.
I ain't going to Purdue, Indiana.
I'll give you some bonus points if you know what town Purdue's in.
I was going to say Gary, Indiana, but that's not true.
No.
Purdue is in, nope, I don't know.
I don't either.
Then why'd you ask me? That's not fair.
That's what I said. I was going to give bonus points. I'm looking it up right now. This is so funny that we have to look this stuff up.
I was going
to
say Purdue, Indiana. Purdue a city?
No, it's not a city. It's in West Lafayette. I knew that. I'm an idiot.
I did not know that.
West Lafayette. West Lafayette is basically like, isn't that Baton Rouge? Like West Lafayette, Louisiana is like Baton Rouge, I think. Unless I'm thinking of East. All I know is Lafayette and Baton Rouge like are side by side in Louisiana.
Yeah.
But West Lafayette, Indiana is completely different.
Generic question, and he didn't put any specifics in it. Four-year weekend starter, mid-major, four-year reliever, Power 5.
Oh, Power 5. I'm taking power that. Five. I'm assuming he means like ACC, Big 10, Big 12. I mean, Big 12, SEC, Pac-12, something like that. But, I mean.
Hey, you can throw one inning Friday night, hit the bar,
yeah.
Come back Saturday, bring the jet fuel again. And then Sunday, you're either off or you Sunday, and boom, you chill until next Friday.
And, what if
you, and hey, there's would nothing you, like bullpen talk.
What about, would you rather be a midweek guy, like a midweek starter at a Power 5 or a weekend starter at a mid-major?
Weekend starter at a mid-major.
Yeah, I feel like midweek guys and Power 5s are basically,
dude,
like the worst pitchers they have.
You know this well. Midweek starters at Power 5 are set up for failure, and here's why. When Florida goes to play Bethune-Cookman, when Mississippi State goes to play South Alabama, when you know what I'm talking about, when you go play your in-state rival, small school, mid-major, you're supposed to win that game.
Yeah.
You are supposed to win that game. You are the starter for that game. Now you're like, oh, shit, I have to win. If I lose, I suck. If we win, I'm supposed to win. So it's almost like a lose-lose situation.
Well, and you know just about as much as I do with Mercer and, like, whenever we played Georgia or Georgia Tech. Like, we threw our best arms those games.
Yeah, we went out there to win.
It was like a Tuesday in March, like right before the conference season would start, and we'd be throwing our Friday guy on a Tuesday.
I've always kind of went back and forth about that whole thing. My thing is the midweek starter is supposed to be a freshman getting groomed to become a weekend guy.
Yeah.
So when you throw a midweek starter freshman year, if let's say that Mercer and he's facing Georgia Tech on the road in Atlanta, throw him in the fire. Nobody cares about your freshman year stats. Throw him in the fire. Let him try to go sixth inning against Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
Instead of throwing him out there for two innings and then pulling him, going to your best reliever for three, and then Johnny Holstaffing it from there, I think that you're not developing.
No, the only way to develop is to be thrown into the fire, because we've all done it. Every player knows what I'm talking about. You might feel like, you know, your freshman year you're ready to compete with everybody, but until you face some sort of like failure, you're not going to be like you're not going to be as developed as what you can be, because there's always going to be nerves. There's always going to be, negative thoughts crossing your mind, because it's not going to go great your whole season. It's just not.
It's not.
So, yeah, I agree with that. Moving on to the next question. I like this one a lot. Would you rather play on a crappy field with a ton of fans or a super nice field with no fans?
Crappy field, ton of fans.
I love the fans. That's what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't matter what the field looks like if there's 3,000 people in the stands.
Give me a crappy field with a lot of fans. Because, dude, okay, 56 games in a college season, it's easier to get up for every game because you play Tuesday and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But just for example, in pro ball, when you're playing every night, don't matter how nice the field is, you need fans.
Yeah, to get up.
To get you up. Because everybody chugged their coffee, chugged their five-hour energy to get up, and you walk out there empty, you get super lackadaisical. I mean, it's the reality of it. So yeah. I think playing with fans, you get hyped up. You forget what field you're on.
Right.
Get in the heat of the game, the heat of the moment. Fans are talking shit, whatever. Or they're cheering you on, whatever. I think fans is priceless.
Dude, and there's no better feeling than going to like a sold-out crowd somewhere and just getting heckled. Like, we've played at big fields. Like, anytime you go to, like, Ole Miss or Georgia, Mississippi State, those kind of schools, Arkansas is another one. Like, when those fans are chirping you, there's no better feeling than being on the other end of
Dude,
it.
Dude, you're not on the bus saying, oh, my God, Ole Miss feels so nice. Oh, my God, third base is, like, really so perfect. You're thinking, oh, shit, left field lounge lizards in Mississippi State. Yeah. Or you're thinking fans, your atmosphere. You're not thinking, oh, the lips kind of suck or the dirt. Yeah, you're going to think about it when you're out there taking I.O., but that's not what you're thinking on the bus, heading there, or the plane, whatever. You're thinking about, oh, let's go, baby. Like, the fans are going to be wild.
Exactly. No, I totally agree. And we've played, like, the Citadel. If you guys aren't aware of the Citadel, it's a military school in South Carolina. They play in the Charleston River Dog Stadium, and they're in Mercer's Conference, and it's a beautiful field. It's an awesome field, like, kind of near the beach. But they get like 80 people a game.
And they're all old ex-vets.
Yeah, they're old retired military people that went to the Citadel. And the field's great, but you leave that place thinking like, man, we just swept them. You know,
so
the
what?
Atmosphere sucked. Like, whatever, we're supposed to win. If that field was packed and there were like actual active military people there, like chirping us, it would make that environment 100 times
Army,
better.
Army, Navy.
Yeah.
It's the fans. They don't care about playing in Philadelphia. It's the fans.
Right.
But, no, I mean, like, yeah, like, yeah. Like, I mean, even – oh, that makes a great point. Conference tournament week. Teams are playing in minor league stadium, affiliate stadium, and there's 50 people there during conference tournament week.
Well, some of them. Some of them are sold out.
Okay, but, okay, yeah, if you go to Hoover and ACC championship and Big 12, whatever. But I would rather play at someone's home park packed than play at a neutral site with no fans and a big stadium that looks empty. When you dogpile on Sunday, you'd rather dogpile in front of people than on a super nice field that, you know, maybe the guy in the bottom, it doesn't hurt as bad.
Those dogpiles are fun though. How many did you get a part of, like, total your career?
In my career, high school. I mean, I'll bring up high school. I mean, I don't care what people think about me.
Did you win state in high school?
No, we lost in the Final Four, but we won region. It was the first time we won region, so we dogpiled for that. Dogpiled sophomore year at Mercer when we won the regular season title at Northern Kentucky. Awful field. Nobody there. Pouring down rain.
Just didn't feel right.
Oh, no, it felt great, but it's like when you get out of the dogpile and you look around, start like woo-roo-rying, you're just like, oh, I'm just talking to myself and my teammates. Then I dogpiled junior year. That was a bad year. Senior year, we dogpiled. We won the regular season against Samford, and then we beat Samford in the championship game of the tournament. So we dogpiled twice against Samford. Screw them.
Did you guys dogpile in the Cape?
Yep, and then we dogpiled in the Cape. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then I dogpiled in pro ball, so 6.
So were you ever on the bottom of those piles? Because I've been on the bottom of it, and it sucks.
I was on the bottom of senior year regular season. I was on the bottom. I remember Charlie came and hugged me, and then Nyquist came in like a freaking linebacker and just bulldozed to the ground, and then I don't remember.
Yeah, it feels like you kind of black out at the bottom, and it feels like you're paralyzed, and you can't breathe.
I couldn't breathe.
Can't breathe. Like, this is serious stuff.
I was gut punching people to get off me. I couldn't breathe.
Dude, it turns into, like, a real, like, mosh pit where you're, like, you're pushing people off just to, like, save yourself.
My life was flashing before my eyes.
Yeah.
I was, like, wheezing.
For the listeners back home, a dog pile, it literally feels like, I've never been in, like, a major car wreck, but I can imagine, like, getting in a major car wreck and being, like, pushed against like the floor mat or like the wherever you're pushed against. Like, you just can't move, you can't breathe, and your whole life is flashing in front of your eyes because you really don't know if you're going to get out. Like, you don't know if it's going to be a 30-minute long dog pile or not. You're literally fighting for your life. So I'm glad you brought that up, because that stuff is hilarious to me, that it's the happiest moment of your life, and then all of a sudden you're like fighting for your life to stay alive.
All right, you want to get a little more serious on these would you rather?
Yeah, man. Throw whatever you want at me. I don't care. I'm not scared to answer.
Vandy Chris 5. Would you rather go to school and develop your craft as a pitcher or sign with the MLB team and be an underdeveloped journeyman in double-A ball?
Wait, is that Vanderbilt guy?
Vandy Chris.
All right, that's a totally sarcastic question. I don't know if you picked up on it. He's basically saying Vanderbilt's so good at developing pitchers and they make it past double-A, but like some of the recruits – choose to not sign with Vanderbilt and sign to play pro ball, and then they never make it past double-A.
Yeah, I totally.
That's a straight savage. On that one. Yeah, that's a straight savage. Would you rather, right there?
Damn, Vandy Chris. I mean, it's like that now.
I mean, that, okay, I just knew for a fact that was Vanderbilt.
Let's do another one. 40 wins for 40 years, or 2 College World Series titles over the same time period, but also not making the field of 64 several times each decade.
Give me 2 national championships.
Right.
That is.
Nobody remembers 40 wins.
Yeah. No. It's 2 national championships.
Do you remember 1983 when
we won 40 games?
University of Alabama Birmingham won 40 games.
No. Dude, imagine like you'd be the laughing stock of college baseball if you won 40 games for 40 years in a row.
I mean, it sounds like Georgia in football.
You never won a national championship. Like, that's kind of embarrassing. But
it
I promise
is. That means you can't finish, if you know what I mean.
Everybody's going to remember Coastal Carolina. They've won 1 in the last 5 years. And
nobody cares about their 40-win season the year before.
Yeah, they just care about the national championship. So we got to
shout them out. Ben, thank you, Ben, for the question. Bam06J.
Bam06J. That's a good question.
Profile. But... just a high school coach. I'm definitely taking 2 College World Series titles.
I'll even take 1. Dude, think about it. There's teams like Mississippi State, Arkansas, Florida State. Like some
still
of these schools, like they haven't won in over 60 years. Maybe not even at all.
Yeah.
So to win a national championship in college baseball takes a special team and
luck. A lot of luck.
Because if you're hot in February, March, and April, and you cool off, I mean, you might have the better team, but
get hot in May, and you can't control that.
And that's what happened with Coastal Carolina in 2017. They got hot. Like, they obviously had the talent.
I mean, Michigan last year, they got hot.
And they had the talent. Like, they were a preseason top 20 team last year.
Yeah,
but
they were talented, but they weren't.
They were so bad.
They were not a top 5 team in the country over 56 games.
And they were so bad in the middle of that season that they were on the border of not even making the regionals.
I remember we were doing it. They were like a last 4 in or last 4 out.
And it's because I think they won like 2 Big Ten Big Ten tournament games.
And they got in. They got hot. I mean,
they were one win away from winning the whole thing.
Oh, Ben, you'll appreciate this one. Would you rather pay a third assistant coach or pay a third assistant coach?
It's so stupid that we're talking about this in 2020. Like, there is so much money going around.
It was so 2019.
Yeah, no, I mean, this should have been done 10 years ago. But, yeah, for the listeners that don't know, you can only have two paid assistant coaches on your staff, you know, with over 35 guys. You have 35 on the active roster. And, you know, you got probably 5 or 6 that aren't going to be on active rosters but still practice. And you have 3 coaches that are paid to be there. Meanwhile, you have to have some of the bigger schools have volunteer assistants. They have director of baseball operations, maybe even both. But those guys can't make a cent through the university. They have to make all their money through camps and outside jobs and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's stupid. So the question was,
I'm just going to say no comment.
Yeah, I'm just going to say it's stupid that the NCAA still hasn't fixed that rule and should have been voted up last year, but we had some selfish athletic directors that voted it down. But anyways, we'll move on. This one's from Clark Lowry. Would you rather lead the country in on-base percentage or lead the country in home runs? Like I said, nobody remembers who leads the country in on-base percentage. Even though you might be helping your team more in the long run, if you lead the country in home runs, I mean, you're a legend forever at your school.
On-base percentage, congratulations, you got to first base. Like, yeah. You know what I mean?
And, like, honestly, like, I would have been pumped to be in the top 100 of on-base percentage. But at the same time, it's something that to hit that many home runs and hit more than anybody else in college baseball, you're basically guaranteed to get drafted pretty high, especially with the new bats, these BB Corps bats. It's tough to hit home runs. And I know they've solved a little bit of that with the new baseball. But, yeah, I'm taking home runs 11 times out of 10. All right, Dimitri, I got the next question for you. This one kind of hits close to home because I've been a part of both of these, but would you rather be the best player on a losing team or the worst player on a winning team? And I think I know your answer, but go ahead and say it.
Ooh, best player on a losing team or worst player on a winning team?
I guess it really just depends on what your goals are. If you're trying to get drafted.
Honestly, my pure mental health, and I know mental health is a big deal these days, I'm going to take best player on a winning team.
Wait, what? Say that again.
If
you said best player on a winning team, that's not the question.
I mean, best player on a losing team.
You dumb.
Yeah. Best, I mean, obviously, you want to be the best player on a winning team. That's the answer I should give always. But
I thought you were being sarcastic. I thought you'd be like, you know, for my mental health, and like mental health is huge. I'll just be the best player on the best team. Well, yeah, you think?
Yeah, duh, no shit.
So you'd rather be the best player.
You take best player on a losing team.
Best. All right. So,
what would you do?
Well, I've been kind of on both ends of this. I mean, I wasn't the best player on a losing team, but I was, you know. I had a really good season my freshman year on a team that went 9-43, and we were the third worst team ranked in the RPI, Division I baseball. So, and I've also been like one of the worst players at Mercer. And that's a winning team. And honestly, I like the worst player on the winning team because no expectations. You know, you get to be a part of something that, you know, your season lasts longer.
I will agree with this.
Yeah, your season lasts longer. People pay attention more and people care more. And like they just see you as like you're on the team. Not everybody knows you're the worst player. You know, yeah, people just think
100%.
The guys on the field.
Congratulations on the win. Yeah, I didn't do shit, but thanks.
Yeah, no, it's like the way people see it is, hey, look, the guys on the field are really good. I bet the guys on the bench are just as good. Maybe just not as good, but you know, not as bad as what you probably are. So
yeah, I mean, if you're talking to a girl or like whatever, like, oh, congratulations on the big win.
Like, thanks. I
didn't do anything, but yeah, awesome.
I carried the trainer's bag and the BP balls from the bus to the field. But
made a fire Gatorade mix.
Yeah, you know, you make the best Gatorade mix in the conference. So something to be proud of. You got any more would you rathers for us, or are we going to wrap up the show?
Let's see. Would you rather hit against Casey Mize or pitch against Adley Rutschman? I think that's pretty easy.
Well, my result wouldn't be good either way. If I pitched against Adley Rutschman, he would hit probably the furthest ball in college baseball history off of me. And I don't know if I'm touching Casey Mize's changeup. So
split finger, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That split finger is deadly. Deadly. I think to save myself some embarrassment, I'd pitch against Adley Rutschman because people would be more focused on him hitting than how bad I am as a pitcher.
Hey, so. Hall of Famers fail 7 out of 10 times, so the odds are in your favor.
A deep flyout looks good on my record. I'll
exactly.
take that.
It's an out. So I think I'm facing Adley Rutschman as well.
Dude, he would absolutely torch you. he's such a pure hitter. Probably the best we've seen in the last 5 years at this level.
Yeah. But I think we're good on the would you rather. Some of them were just kind of like we don't need to answer them. But I do appreciate every single one of them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so I guess to kind of wrap up the show, we'll kind of tease what we're going to do. Since it still isn't in season yet, we're not diving into some of the fun stuff we can do. We're just previewing a lot. And so either our next episode or the episode after that next week before the season starts, we'll have like a preview show of who our favorite teams are. Maybe we'll release an All-American team. We'll do a top 25 preseason. We'll have all that stuff on one of the shows next week. Just to remind you guys, or if you're a new listener, we're going to do 3 shows a week like we did last year. And hopefully we'll get, you know, some big-time guests that will come on the show. We had a lot of fun with that last year and a lot of good feedback. I think we had close to 4 or 5 first-round draft picks last year on our show. So you get the best of the best as far as interviews go. We had Ron Polk on last year, Hall of Fame coach. And so moving forward, we're going to have more deep dives into teams and players and the season. But we wanted to have one last fun show for you guys, kind of introducing what our plans are. So anyways, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Instagram. We're going to be posting a lot on social media, and we're excited about our partnership with Foul Pole Sports. They're going to do big things for us, and we're going to do big things for them. Also, look for merchandise dropping sometime next week.
Hey, don't be a Helen Keller.
Don't be the Helen Keller Player of the Week. That's that is advice. And if you don't know what that means, go look up Foul Pole Sports' Twitter or Instagram. It's the worst hitter in the week for the whole country, and it's hilarious. It's a real honor to wear that badge.
Hey, looks like I just popped my cherry for first podcast.
First podcast. Well, you were on a couple last year for player
interviews. Yeah, but those were player interviews, not straight-up podcast.
Yeah, you showed us enough last year where we called you up to the big league. Big league.
Hey, so. Hey, man, it's an honor to be here.
Absolutely.
It's an honor.
So we'll get back with you guys, I think, either Sunday night or Monday, maybe even Saturday night. So stay tuned with us. Hopefully you guys have a good weekend. And we're almost there, 1 week away from the start of the opening day. So thank you, guys.